Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Tuesday, December 9th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here are tonight's top stories.
Tonight.
When I said that, I was being glib and quite frankly trying to make myself seem smart.
Gruber tortures the data again, while Feinstein pretends to release the data on torture. And the politically connected get $900 billion in tax breaks. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Night before last, I was at the Kennedy Center Honors, where they honored Tom Hanks, famously Forrest Gump, the ultimate in successful stupid man. Are you stupid?
I don't think so, no.
Does MIT employ stupid people?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So you're a smart man who said some, as the ranking member said, some really stupid things. And you said the same. Is that correct?
The comments I made were really inexcusable.
And it was those really stupid things that were said repeatedly by the top economic advisor to Obamacare that landed him in the hot seat today with the House Oversight Committee. Now, Gruber repeatedly apologized for his mean, glib, and arrogant statements that were made about the stupidity of the American voter. He said it was inexcusable that I tried to appear smarter by insulting others. And apparently he thinks that we are stupid enough that we are going to buy his apology, which is so tired. Now, this 4-hour hearing also touched on another videotaped statement that's been quoted in a lawsuit. It threatens a central pillar of Obamacare. And in that tape, Gruber seems to endorse the argument that Obamacare subsidies, which are designed to help bring down the cost of insurance, make it more affordable. Well, he seems to say that they're illegal for people who use the federal marketplace, healthcare.gov. And of course, 37 states use healthcare.gov. Now, today's hearing was the GOP's latest and last best shot at Obamacare this Congress. So let's just take a little look at Gruber's greatest.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
Are you stupid?
I don't think so, no.
Does MIT employ stupid people?
Not to my knowledge.
This has been a 5-year ordeal with this law. We want to know how much he got from the taxpayer and then made fun of him after he got the money and lied to him.
I don't recall the total.
Who owns those documents? Who paid for?
I'm not sure.
You don't know who paid for those documents? Were you paid by the American taxpayer?
Are you stupid?
I'm not sure. Once again, the committee can take it up with my counsel. Once again, the committee can take that up with my counsel. Once again, the committee can take that up with my
counsel. I need a yes or no. I'm not interested in talking to your counsel.
You can take that up with my counsel.
As far as I can tell, we are here today to beat up on Jonathan Gruber for stupid, I mean absolutely stupid, comments he made over the past few years.
You can take that up with my counsel.
Are you stupid?
I'm not sure.
And coming up later in the show, Rob Dew will be bringing you some information about how to opt out of Obamacare. Now, a long-delayed Senate report was released today. This was by the Senate Intelligence Committee, and it basically details the enhanced interrogation tactics that were put in place by the CIA. And it reveals that not only did the CIA routinely lie about the information that it received from detaining and interrogating terror suspects, but it also reveals some of the grisliest techniques that were used, methods that were far more brutal than previously acknowledged by the CIA. Now, as Feinstein released her redacted report on CIA torture, those on the left who said they initially wanted Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld and their minions to be held accountable have now thrown in the towel for that request, and you won't believe why.
As Gruber goes before Congress to be drilled for torturing the data about Obamacare in order to deceive the American people, a heavily edited and censored report about actual torture was released by the Senate.
Republican and Democrat reactions have been as predictable as they are hypocritical. But the most surprising reaction has come from some libertarians who have in the past opposed torture. More on that in a moment. But first, the politicians. Senator Feinstein is sanctimoniously promoting the release as a confrontation of the ugly truth.
History will judge us by our commitment to a just society governed by law and the willingness to face an ugly truth and say never again.
Without any sense of irony or guilt, Feinstein says that on the very same day that the NDAA heads to the Senate floor for the fourth time under her leadership. It destroys our commitment to a just society governed by the rule of law when it presumes to authorize illegal, unconstitutional actions like indefinite detention of U.S. citizens by the military without any charges, as well as rendition and presumably enhanced interrogation, federal government's euphemism for torture. She won't face that ugly truth. She won't say never again, but rather let's do it again. And of course, after the 1,600-page NDAA was released at 10:30 at night, the GOP House passed it just a day and a half later, mocking their pledge of 2010 to always read the bill. And they're going to do the same thing with the omnibus continuing resolution spending bill, keeping it secret until just a few hours before the vote. And will the Republican who's likely to take Feinstein's place on the Senate Intelligence Committee be any better than Feinstein? Absolutely not. Richard Burr will be much worse, having already gone on record saying there shouldn't be any public hearing about what the CIA or the NSA does about anything. But the most amazing reaction that shows how low America has already sunk into accepting a lawless government comes from the executive director of the ACLU, who previously lobbied Bush to oppose presidential pardons for those who had planned and authorized torture. The ACLU director points out that neither Obama nor the Justice Department has shown any appetite for holding anyone accountable. When the department did conduct an investigation, it appeared not to have interviewed any of the prisoners who were tortured. And it repeatedly abused the state secrets privilege in order to derail cases brought by prisoners, including Americans, who were tortured as enemy combatants. But now the ACLU is calling for formal pardons for these people. Their tortured logic, worthy of John Gruber, is that doing nothing, as Obama has and will do, is a tacit pardon. We need to have, they say, an explicit pardon, so we can, as a society, at least acknowledge that laws were broken. That's it. No longer any hope of criminal prosecution for leaders and government employees who violate the law, commit treason, and torture people, including American citizens. No, the best we can hope for is to say it was wrong. But don't think that you're going to even get that in this kind of lawless society. Our government no longer has the will to punish cops who murder or politicians who torture and murder. That's the real ugly truth we have to confront. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
And another report was released today, this time by Senator Tom Coburn, and it's a report detailing more than $900 billion in loopholes in the federal tax system. It is a report titled Tax Decoder, and Coburn estimates $500 billion, which is more than enough to balance the federal budget, is lost annually because the U.S. tax code is so complicated and unwieldy. And according to Coburn, taxes should not be determined by who has access to the craftiest accountants, lobbyists, and politicians. Now, his report details the complexity of the ever-changing 9,000-page tax code. He reports people who pay no taxes at all, which of course means that the rest of us have to pick up the slack and pay higher taxes. So this is Hollywood filmmakers, people, you know, they write off their gambling losses at casinos. Of course, we've talked about sports team owners. They write off the depreciating value of their players. And of course, we've got tax-free nonprofit charities benefiting from these loopholes. For instance, Lady Gaga's nonprofit, the Born This Way Foundation, raised $2.6 million, but donated only $5,000 of that in 2012. So here we have people like you and me scraping by so we can donate whatever we can to charities, or, you know, asking us to dump buckets of ice water on our head to these charities. Meanwhile, they are putting the money and the dollars into the wrong pockets. Let's just take a look at some of these. We've got Kanye West Foundation spent $553,000 plus in 2009 on salaries, travel, and other administrative expenses. Only $573 actually went to charity, and that's to help kids from dropping out of school. And then Wyclef Jean's charity paid him $100,000 to perform at his own event. We already know the NFL and PGA Tour, among others, are granted tax-exempt status, even though they bring in millions of dollars every year. The Kids Wish Network, their mission is to provide wishes for terminally ill children. But of the $18.6 million they raised in 2012, less than $240,000 of that was spent directly on granting wishes. The Cancer Fund of America donated less than $1 million to cancer patients, but gave $80 million spent on fundraisers over a 10-year period and gave $5 million of that to the founder's family. So, of course, we already know about corporations receiving astronomical tax breaks. Some of them, like Facebook, for instance, reported a $1.1 billion in profit for 2013, but paid zero in federal and state income taxes. And in fact, they even received a refund. Now, this is in addition to the trillions of dollars that corporations keep overseas. Fortune 500 companies, 111 of them, paid absolutely zero taxes. So these are the loopholes that we're talking about when everyone's screaming for, oh, give us a carbon tax. We demand a carbon tax. All these corporations should pay it. The worst abusers should pay for all of this global warming. Newsflash, they're not going to pay that carbon tax. You are. You and I are. We're going to be paying for that, and they will figure out a very creative way to make us all feel guilty for breathing. Now, I just want to point out that Obama took some time out of his busy presidential schedule on Monday. He was meeting with the royal family. He went over to the Colbert Report and did a little, you know, reading of the news there. But then he also went over to talk to his folks at BET. Now, the president says the protests over Eric Garner and Mike Brown are necessary to trigger America's conscience, so long as they are peaceful. The president said, sometimes a country's conscience has to be triggered by some inconvenience. So here he is on BET, totally disregarding the widespread rioting and looting that has taken place in some of these cities, saying that the country needs to be inconvenienced. So this is kind of like the inconvenience that he caused last year by shutting down the nation's monuments, which, of course, we saw that last year where all the vets brought the barricades there to the White House and dumped them there. That was a political decision, to inconvenience the country. So very political there. But I'm sorry, the protests completely jumped the shark for me when they decided that white people weren't allowed to put their hands up and in solidarity with the protests there. That was when it was over for me. Hashtag only Black Lives Matter. I'm done. Now, speaking of recording police in public, which is one of the main reasons why we are seeing these protests going on all over the country, because of the horrendous activity by the police that's been caught on camera. Well, earlier this year, the Illinois Supreme Court overturned a draconian eavesdropping law, which would make it a felony to record public officials without their permission. Well, today, that bill is back with a vengeance. A lot of things happening today. Now, this amendment removed all of the bill's previous content, replacing it with the new ban on recording, and they passed it both House and Senate with an overwhelming majority, while citizens were busy debating on a minimum wage hike, of course, that did not pass. So they're distracting everyone with their minimum wage hike while they're passing this law that discourages people from recording conversations with police by making it unlawful to record a conversation with police or an attorney general, assistant attorney general, state's attorney, a judge. They'll make it a class 3 felony. So basically, you'll be punished with more of a crime if you record a police officer or another public official than you would for recording a private individual, a private citizen, which is a class 4 felony. So you're still going to get a little prison time there, but even more so if you record the police. Obviously, what is this going to do? It's going to make people incredibly fearful of recording their interactions with police officers, which, as we've seen, over the last few months is an extremely important thing for American people to be able to do to protect themselves. And of course, we need more transparency and accountability in government because that's what helps to prevent tyranny. Now, if you go to the article, it's at freethoughtproject.com. It gives you contact info for the governor to demand that he veto the amendment to this bill. So let your voice be heard and let him know that you are not happy about that. But some good news, I guess, for standing up to the nanny state. Texas lawmakers today wanted to just remind everyone that, yes, it is legal to say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah in schools without fear of repercussions. As we've seen, a lot of the protesters were saying that it was offensive for Darius Rucker, a black man, to sing White Christmas in New York. This stuff is just getting out of control. Now, coming up, Rob Dew sits down with the communications director of a health share organization. They are offering you an alternative to Obamacare.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosyl cobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks to Liam McAdoo for doing the news portion of the show. Yesterday, I put out a video called Three Easy Ways to Avoid Obamacare. And what I was specifically talking about were the fees associated with Obamacare, because I don't think any of us are going to be able to avoid Obamacare entirely. This is going to turn into a giant monstrosity that's going to drive up healthcare costs, get rid of doctors, lower your options, and make you pay more out of pocket. And that's going to affect everybody downstream from that. But what I was specifically referring to were these health share ministries that cropped up in the 90s to basically help people pay for their medical expenses collectively as a group instead of relying on a giant insurance company. We are now joined by the communications director of LibertyHealthShare.org, Matthew Bellis. Matthew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Drew. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now let's get into Obamacare. People were, when this was being written, it was done in secrecy. It was voted on in weird ways. Nobody ever saw what was going to be voted on. It's thousands of pages in length when it, you know, healthcare shouldn't be that complicated. And now we're finding out that, you know, the costs are going up. There's no more private doctors are going down. Rural hospitals are closing. What have you seen with Obamacare? What's really, what's gotten under your skin about this new program?
Well, we exist primarily for people who of religious faith and ethical beliefs to break free and be an alternative to health insurance. And so when the Affordable Care Act came around, we said we've got to provide this known alternative for people. And so I wouldn't say it's exactly what's gotten under our skin, but more or less that we feel that we need to present a different stance and an alternative to people who want to do their health care in a different way.
Okay. And in insurance in general, I've had an accident back in 2012. I tore my left ACL, having tore my right 20 years previously.
Okay.
And I could never reach the deductible. And that's a big thing that people have don't see that. It's like the hidden cost of health insurance. You don't realize, well, in addition to paying your premiums every month, you have to reach a certain level, five, maybe even $10,000, before the insurance company even decides to kick in any money. And, you know, that's something different about Liberty Share. Talk a little bit about that and how your what you guys don't really call a deductible, but
right.
how you do it a little differently than what right. most insurance companies offer.
Sure, sure. Well, want to make sure we understand clearly that we aren't an insurance company, and we're glad to be, and I'm sure you're aware of that.
Right.
And so the kind of terminology that we use is not the terminology that insurance companies use, but people who are a part of Liberty Health Share kind of go through some of the same processes, but there are pretty distinct differences. With people who come through our membership and our program, whenever they go to the doctor, they have their first set amount that we say that they're responsible for. It is $500 for an individual, $1,000 for a couple, $1,500 for a family. And from that point on, all of the dollar amounts that are a part of any type of medical bill are then shared amongst the community. So this is person-to-person medical cost sharing. It is individuals reaching out and giving another individual who is in need a monthly share amount.
Right, which is different than, you know, insurance companies. You're paying your money each month to a giant corporation who then doles it out. They hold on to it. They create a giant bureaucracy or red tape to try, in my opinion, to try not to pay you. They try to get out of that because they're a for-profit company. And the way you guys are set up is individuals are sending money directly to people, and that's how you get around it, calling it insurance. Is that correct?
Well, there's a couple of things that we don't do that insurance companies do. Insurance companies, they spread out the risk, they transfer risk, and they promise to pay. And we don't do those things. One of those things, you know, we don't transfer risk. We're all considered self-pay patients who are working together and helping one another pay off each other's medical bills. And that also means that we are all responsible for our own medical care. But we are voluntarily coming together and saying, you're a fellow man in need, and we want to be of help and of service to you. So the monthly amount that I would normally give to somebody, I'm going to give to you. And we do that stuff all in the back office, and we line people up with the shares and the needs. But we have found that people are able to take care of their medical bills, successfully take care of their medical bills, when it's done on a voluntary basis like that. What the executive director of our company likes to say that what a contract giveth, a contract can taketh away. And there's a whole industry of lawyers out there whose whole goal in life is to help get the insurance companies to pay. And we don't have that. We have individuals, person to person, helping each other with their medical expenses when they come up.
Yeah, and that, you know, we've had these videos of Gruber coming up saying we got to figure out how we can hide this and not call it a tax so people will approve it. Right. And people are being sold something that really, you know, in the long run isn't going to help them. We've seen, you know, the healthcare going down in this country. But one thing I like about Liberty HealthShare and the other healthshare ministries that are out there, they always have an accountability section. It's not, hey, I'm going to take care of you. It's you take care of yourself first. We're there to help you, but and to share in the responsibility of the high cost of healthcare is what it's turned into. Mm-hmm. But you guys aren't you know, forcing anyone on this. You're not forcing anyone to play by a certain set of rules. You're like, here's our game field. If you want to come on it, you're welcome to, but it's all voluntary. There's nobody forcing you to get into this with a gun, which at Obamacare, they're starting to get that way. It's everybody's got to have it. But talk about the accountability aspect of it.
In what regard? The accountability of our members to members or our members to the community? How is that?
Well, just in essence, the whole, you know, how we are accountable for our health, but
sure.
by us all being accountable also to each other and helping each other out, it kind of just, it makes a giant, you know, boat, arc, whatever you want to call
sure.
it, where,
right, right.
where everything's being taken care of and it's done efficiently.
Yeah. Again, we're all self-pay patients, and we're all individuals, and we, like I said before, voluntarily work with one another, and we found that's the best way to get the best results. We're all free people, and we should be able to live out those freedoms and help each other whenever there's need. We are a group of people that say we're not necessarily for the healthy people, but we're here for the health-conscious people, the people who aren't going to put off taking care of their bodies, you know, next year or next week, until they get sick. You know, we're going to take measures right now to take care of our bodies. So we eat the right foods, we exercise, we, do the things so that we don't get sick. And that is part of the reason why we don't have the exorbitant costs that you find in other healthcare programs. So we're accountable to each other in the regard that we want to take care of ourselves on the front end, but also we're accountable to each other on the back end. We're saying, you know, just like a Marine says, we're not going to leave a buddy behind lines. We're not going to leave our members out to dry whenever they come up with medical bills. We're going to help them pay those things off, and we have a track record of doing so rather successfully.
Yeah, you guys have been in operation since the 90s. Talk a little bit about the history of Liberty HealthShare, how it kind of reformed a few years ago, and then how you got into this and you know, what attracted you to this business model?
Sure. Liberty HealthShare is a reformulation of a previous medical cost-sharing group called Christian Financial Death Assistance. They were a group of individuals who helped pay off end-of-life expenses when it came to hospice care, final surgeries that might be needed, things like that. And whenever the Affordable Care Act was upheld by the Supreme Court, we felt that it was time to reformulate that whole group, make it to a broader sense of healthcare, offer it to people who of our like mind and like faith and like ethics, who want to take care of each other, and bring that to America at large and say, this is a viable, available option that you can take hold of right now. We kind of say that we're not for everybody. Not everybody is going to grab on to the ideas and the prospects of being in a medical cost sharing group. But we're here for those who want to go down that path, who want to know exactly who they're giving their money to, who want to take control of their healthcare, who want to minimize costs and want to be a part of that community. So, that's how we kind of got started, where we came from. Myself personally, I was a member of Liberty HealthShare before I was the communications director. My wife, in September of last year, got a letter from her insurance company. We had just had our first child, David, and her insurance premiums were going to go up pretty substantially. Just for her and our son, we found out that premiums were going to go up to around $830. And that was not taking care of me. And I said, you know what? We got to look into Liberty HealthShare.
And that's per month too, right? That's per month. That's not on a yearly basis. That's coming out every month, $830. Yeah.
Right. That was the traditional insurance program.
For two people.
For two people. Yeah. For my wife and our son.
Right.
And we said, that's just not doable. We can't do that. And so we looked into Liberty HealthShare and she was skeptical. And we are, I'm somebody who says, yeah, let's do it. Let's work it out and we'll find out if it works or not later on. And she wants to make sure that all the ducks are in the row, right away. Well, come actually earlier in 2014 in April, I got sick actually. It was a pretty substantial disease. It was called Hodgkin sarcoidosis. I spent some time in the hospital, had some procedures done, and we found firsthand how the community comes together and successfully pays off medical bills. It was a great experience. We had never gone to the doctor before, but once we had Liberty HealthShare and we needed it, we found out the people were there, and it was a great personal story to say, wow, this really is something that works. And they said that they needed a communications director, and I was very much for Liberty HealthShare, and so I took on that position. So,
well, and it does take a leap of faith to jump into a health sharing system.
Sure,
because you're not, it doesn't have, like, insurance has this giant, you know, kind of institutionalized feel to it, and people trust insurance, and they've been told and ingrained and and brainwashed into thinking they have to have it, and they don't think of things differently. So it's a definitely a different way of thinking outside the box. And, you know, we had the same system too. I'm with Samaritan Ministries, and my wife had an issue earlier this year. It cost us about, not that much, $650 after all the bills were paid. We sent in all the receipts. You know, the way you talk to the healthcare providers is you say, I don't have insurance, and you just pay with cash, and then you get reimbursed later. And we got almost, it was about $530, $40 back off of that 600 plus bill. So when you look at it, it was way better than a deal you could ever get with insurance. Insurance would never even come close to touching that. We would have just paid that $600 and had to lump it in addition to paying the premiums each month.
Sure.
And those go to nameless, you know, bureaucrats and red tape artists and lawyers. It doesn't go to individual people. And I think that's a big, that's what makes me, you know, okay with sending the money in. I really feel good about, hey, I know exactly who I'm sending it to. I know what the problem was. And I'm helping out my fellow man. And one other thing, I did a video last night. It went up. It's got about 30,000 views now. And just talking about these alternatives to Obamacare, these health sharing ministries. The one I'm in, Samaritan, and I think MediShare both have a minister requirement where they want a minister to look over your report, sign a yearly agreement. You guys don't actually have that same requirement. Talk about that and how that's a little different from the other programs that are out there.
Yeah, we believe that we're just trying to complement and round out the whole field of healthcare sharing ministries. We're not in direct competition with anybody. We just want to say, hey, we're another healthcare sharing ministry, and if you work with us or you want to work with another one, we're totally fine with that. We don't have a requirement where we're asking you to have a pastor or a minister or a rabbi or anybody sign off on a statement of faith or a saying that you are attending church regularly. We're people that say, listen, as Christians, this is a Christian-based organization, but as Christians, we feel that it is very true of the Bible and what Jesus said, that we are to be salt and light and help to the world, not just the Christian community. And so we want to invite as many people as possible who want to be a part of our healthcare sharing ministry. We do have a set shared beliefs, and if you can agree with those, then we were meant for each other. We're happy to work with you. So where we have some differences, that's one of them. And so we're glad to be a part of the healthcare sharing movement, but we are folks that, from a Christian standpoint, say we want to be open to everybody.
Yeah, well, there was a few comments from, I guess we do have a pretty big atheist crowd because we're a libertarian organization, very self-starter. Okay. And so they were getting on saying, these all have, you have to go to church to get your health care? That's ridiculous. I'm going, and they didn't take the time to watch the whole report, I guess, but you know, you guys were the last one that I mentioned and you don't have that option. And I think that's great. I think to each group should be able to set its own rules and say, these are the members we want to have in our group and these are the members we don't want to have in our group.
Rob, you're right.
You know, and I mean, that's part of freedom. You know, people who don't want to believe in a certain way, if all the atheists want to get together and form their own health sharing group, you know, they're more than welcome to. But unfortunately, they had to be in existence before December 31st, 1999 in order to get out of that Obamacare fee. And that's a big sticking point for a lot of people. Anything new coming along, which all these ideas are great, these other co-ops that I've seen out there, but you have to have been in existence, you know, since 1999 in effect to get that waiver for the Obamacare fees. Is there anything else you want to add at the end of this? You know, we've talked a lot about your company. You guys have three different share options available. And, you know, maybe a parting shot at the health insurance industry in general. Like the reason it's not going to change until we start taking away its power, which is taking away its money, essentially.
Well, we essentially are a grassroots organization. We are, again, a group of people who we're not asking for permission. We're not saying, can we share medical costs with each other? We're doing it. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. Is it cheaper than other forms of insurance and healthcare? Sure. We're an alternative. But cheap healthcare is not the reason why we're here. You know, it's good to be able to control your own healthcare decisions, but that's not why we're here. And we're not here specifically for medical cost sharing. That's not the be-all, end-all for us. For us, it is a matter of of conscience to say, I am my own person, I am an individual, I have the right to direct my own health care, I have the right to pay for the things that I want to pay for and not be forced to pay for the things I don't want to. We're going to direct our own health care free from the dictates of government, and we're going to do those things that are the right thing to do, that are directed by our conscience and our faith. And so that's why we exist. There are items that are good. And there are things that are good about medical cost sharing, but those good things support the real reason why we are here. There's a reason why we're called Liberty, and it's because we are individuals exercising our free right to maintain, control, and direct our own health care and be of help to those individuals who want to do the exact same thing. We're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and we are claiming those rights, and we're sharing medical expenses based on those rights.
That is very well said. It sounds like you prepared that speech. That was very eloquent. And
it was off the top of my head.
Well, I tell you, it rings true. I mean, liberty is a foundational principle of this country, and people who want to join a giant bureaucracy or have socialism, move to France, move to Sweden, see how great it's going there, see how their economies are doing. And, you know, get out of America and let us have our freedom. That's all I ask. And I totally agree with what you guys are doing. I'm really on board with this health sharing thing. I just found out about it. It was last October when we joined. And as soon as I heard about it, we were looking at about it for the whole family. It was going to be about $850 a month. And then we were going to have a $10,000 deductible on it for one of the health care plans we were looking at. And I just couldn't stomach that. I could not stomach sending over $8,000 a year to an organization that was then going to deny me, healthcare, at least deny it in the way of reimbursements and paying it back and being able to use it in a timely manner and in the way that I wanted to use it. There were so many controls, and you guys are offering freedom. You're promoting it well. And I just see big things. You guys are having a massive growth right now. I would suspect. Is that correct?
Month over month, we're hitting some record numbers.
Yeah.
And we're pleased to be available for people, and we're happy to be an alternative to folks who want to break free from the systems.
There you go. Well, we appreciate what you're doing out there, Matthew Bellis with libertyhealthshare.org. You can find out all the information there at libertyhealthshare.org. And we'll probably have a check-in with you in a couple months or so, see how things are going. And I definitely send me an email in a few days. Let me know if you hit a bump from the InfoWars audience, because people were definitely hungry from this information. And I think you're going to see a lot of growth, and you guys and the other healthcare ministries out there, because it is a positive program and it's something that we need to see more of in this country.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for helping us spread the word. We appreciate it. As a nonprofit, we don't have huge marketing budgets, so things like this definitely help get the word out.
Great. Well, you take care and have a good day.
Thank you, Rob. Have a good day.
So there are health sharing options for everyone out there. I encourage you to go back and check out the video, Three Easy Ways to Avoid Obamacare. I list the links to the three health sharing ministries. You should check them out and see which one is going to fit best for your budget. And we appreciate them for being out there and offering alternatives to Obamacare. And that's it for our show tonight. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. Right now, we're running our biggest special ever, $29.95 per year. Plus, you can share your username and password with up to 20 people. You can share it with more, but only 20 of you at a time can get on and sign in and watch everything live. Thank you for your support. Please consider becoming a member. And that's our show for tonight. Please join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.